There is nothing any better than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was May the 15th, 1957, until the month of August the 10th, 1957. During that period of time, there's a great event, a record-setting event was being held at Yankee Stadium. It was costing around $2.14 million, including TV time. That's back in the 50s, and so that was very, very expensive. On July the 20th, the record was set. 100,000 people, including the vice president at that time, Richard Nixon, jammed the Yankee Stadium absolutely full. You say, what was going on? Was it a baseball game? And I'd have to answer no. Was it some kind of great concert? And I'd have to answer no. During that time frame, it was a Billy Graham crusade.
Man.
And many in attendance said that Billy Graham preached the greatest message of all time that night when that stadium was packed. And here's what it was. Can't do it like Billy Graham. Here's what he said. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, Christ is the answer.
Amen.
That's all he said.
Thank you, Lord.
That's just all his message. You know, if you've heard Billy Graham, there's nothing unique about it, but God has used him in so, so many ways. And even though they said that was the greatest message that had ever been heard, I beg to differ from them, because the greatest message that has ever been heard is not delivered by man, but was delivered by our Master.
Amen.
If you glance through the Bible, you'll find the messages of Jesus. And most of the time, the messages of Jesus are written in red. Now tell me if this is not good. I am the bread of life.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Simple, but true. What about this? If you thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Simple message from Christ.
Amen.
Miss Linda, this is the greatest one. When Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
What great message. And the messages from Jesus come at the time that we need them the most. When we feel like there's no hope and no help, Jesus always reminds us that He is always there.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
He's always there. Thank you. But one of the most challenging messages I think that we'll find was shared with the living after his resurrection and just prior to Jesus ascending into heaven. You know, we're bad in our churches. We celebrate Easter, then we drop it. There were some things that happened right after Easter that's very important. And I find a message that Jesus brought that I want us to look at this morning. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. The chapter opens with the ladies finding the stone had been rolled away. After that, two of them went down to a village called Emmaus. And there he who had risen appeared to them. Jesus appeared to them. And Jesus was standing in the midst of them, and here's what Jesus said. Peace be unto you. Now, the most amazing thing about Jesus as he walked the face of the earth before his death, he constantly reminded us that we did not have to fear because he was near.
Amen.
And now he tells these ladies who have just went down there and the stone is rolled back and this one that they love is gone. He stands there and he says, peace be unto you.
Amen, brother.
When all trouble and hurt and heartache comes in your life, if you'll stop as a child of God and listen, you can hear Jesus say, "Peace be unto you."
Amen, brother.
Amen.
The greatest words in the middle of the night when your world has collapsed is not from man, but the greatest words is from the Master himself.
Amen.
And he spoke to me. And he said, "Why are you troubled?" He said, "Look at my hands. And look at my feet. I still do not believe that he was who he said he was." And then he asked him, he said, "Do you have any meat? Got any meat?" They had broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it. And Jesus ate with them. And then he told them that he had fulfilled the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. "I've already told you everything there is about me." And then the Lord opened up their understanding. People say, "I can't understand the Bible. I just don't understand the Bible." I'll tell you what you need to do. When you can't understand the Bible, let the Lord help you understand what he's trying to say.
Amen, brother.
That's all.
Amen.
And he tried his best to help them understand that it was he. And then he brought this message. And so for this morning and the next Sunday morning, we're going to look at what Jesus said before he left us.
Come on, brother.
Look what he said, verse 46. "And said of them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer." Now hang on. "And to rise from the dead the third day." What do we find? Here's what we find. It reveals his evangelizing plan. Jesus is about to give us a plan to evangelize. And his entire plan for the world is found right here.
Amen.
What does Jesus want from you? What does Jesus want from me? What does Jesus want from our church? It's right here.
Amen.
And if anything happens for the Lord, we've got to follow his plan.
Amen.
For if we do things according to my plan, and if we do things according to somebody else's plan, we're going to be in a sinking ship. But when you follow the plan of God, you will never go wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he gives us his plan. What's found in it? His plan involved pain. Pain. It behooved Christ. It means it was unavoidable, urgent, a necessity. Christ had to suffer for us, and he did so. He was accused of doing wrong when Jesus had done nothing wrong but love folks every day. He was arrested, tried, and convicted. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Was spit at and scorned. And then he was taken and placed on a cross. A cross was placed on his back and carried to the hill called Golgotha. They nailed him to that cross and they left him there to die. Yes, I would say that his plan involved pain. Jesus suffered that others may know him. He didn't want us just to know him as a baby in a manger. He wanted us to know him as a suffering Savior. And Jesus hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, in order that I might have an escape route from the penalty and the place of hell.
Thank you.
Thank Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who put him on the cross? You and me. The evangelizing plan involved pain. But then the evangelizing plan involved praise. Let me tell you what the greatest word in verse 46 is. the greatest word to me in verse 46 when it says, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. And then there's a three-letter word right there, A-N-D. And to rise from the dead the third day.
Amen.
Where do you find praise? I find praise in the end. We're not excited when a person dies. But when they rise from the grave on the third day, I'll tell you one thing, our excitement ought to boil over. Jesus does not want us to go out here and talk about Him being a dead Savior. Jesus wants us to go out here and tell everybody that He's alive and He's doing well. And guess who's in charge? Jesus Himself is in charge.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He hung on that tree at that day. Christ actually died and was buried. But hallelujah, the grave could not hold Him. Third day, one day passed, nothing happened. Second day passed, nothing happened. Third day came, and Jesus, the Son of God, rose victorious from the grave.
Amen.
Jesus. He lives. That's the part of our Lord's plan. Church, if we want to get so preoccupied on every little thing that we forget to tell people that Jesus is alive, then we've lost God's plan of evangelizing. We've got to sing like He's alive. We've got to worship like He's alive. We've got to live like He's alive. We've got to tell others that Jesus is alive.
Amen.
This world is a gloomy place. This world is a dark, depressing place. I'm glad to let you in on a little excitement today. It don't have to be because we've got a Savior who lives. In the last few weeks, I have walked with families. I've done about 16 funerals since the 1st of January. And I've walked with all sides. I've walked with the small children. I've walked with adults. I've walked with men and women. And I've walked to the graves with all them. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. The greatest news, and I can stand there and say that when you die in the Lord, thank goodness there is hope.
Amen.
It gives us His evangelizing plan that includes pain. It includes praise. Praise filled the air. The grave was empty. Look at verse 47. And He tells us it involves proclamation, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem as a proclamation. Christ had already done His part. Now we must do our part. We could not die for us. He had to die for us. We could not rise from the grave. He did it for us. The story that we must tell is that He lives. And He lives so that when we repent, He will forgive us of our sins.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
If we've got a room full of perfect folks, then we'll never need forgiveness. But because your pastor's not perfect and you're not perfect, we need a lot of forgiveness. But forgiveness only comes when we repent. Oh, we get hundreds to come to the altar and they cry and beg and weep, and that sounds pretty good. But unless you repent, there is no remission of sins.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
It comes to repentance. And it's an individual matter that we've got to settle within our own self. We stand before God individually, and we repent individually, and He forgives individually.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And that's the greatest news of all time.
Hallelujah.
When my boys growing up, they didn't always do what was pleasing to us. Most time, 98% of the time, they did do a lot that pleased us. If you're a parent in here, you know exactly what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what happened. Out of remorse, when they finally realized they'd done something wrong, he come back and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. You know what we done? We love
them. Amen, brother. Amen.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll stand up here and tell you today. I'm glad that God didn't throw me away with the bath water when I made mistakes. But he put his arms around me and he still loved me. If you say he's never loved on you, then you've never admitted to him that you made mistakes.
Amen.
His plan involves a proclamation. No repentance, no remission. Preached in his what? A person. His name. I can't bring remission for sins. You can't bring remission from sins. The church can't bring remission from sin. Only Jesus can bring remission from sin.
Amen. Amen, brother.
No, it's not up to me, and it's not up to you, and it's not up to our church. Remission and forgiveness of sin comes only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
It was he who suffered. It was he who died. It was he who arose. It is he who can bring about forgiveness. Our salvation was in a person. And our keeping is in a person called Jesus. Some people say, well, the day I accepted Christ, that's all I need to do. Christ came in my heart. He forgave me. He entered in my heart. That's all I need to do. I'll make the difference with you. That's all, not all you need to do. Yeah, that's all you need to do to have Christ. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We have to ask Christ to forgive us every single day.
Amen.
When we think we are above sin, it's when God has to bring us down to help us understand that nobody is above sin.
Amen.
It's a person. You might not agree with me on a lot of things. You might have differences to me on a lot of things. Church, I think we all have to agree on one thing. We are forgiven because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
I stand here today forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. My question is, have you been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Remission comes in a person. Remission comes to all people, all nations. This person died for all people everywhere. It's for everybody. Everybody. And it's our job to evangelize everybody.
Amen.
Right.
These guys in Haven of Rest, I can relate to these guys so much in my life. Because I know if it had not been for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. Right. Church, let me tell you something. If you've never been out there and done some of the worldly things, been involved in worldly activities, and been involved in worldly beverages and the drugs of the world, you haven't been out there and done those things, hey, let me remind you of something. If you hadn't been out there, you don't know really how big God's grace really is.
Amen, brother. Amen.
When he brings you from those things.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. It's for all people. It's our job to evangelize everybody. Said that Rose shouldn't be about just a handful of folks. He said that we're about to do what? His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know why he threw in Jerusalem in there? Because that was home.
Right. And
if we don't evangelize our own community, then we have not done the plan of God when God, right before he ascended into heaven.
Amen, brother.
And we get so concerned about every little thing that we fail to realize By everything we do, we're a part of the evangelizing plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody may die and go to hell because of what we say and what we do. And be careful, be careful, be careful, because, listen to me, we will stand before God one of these days accountable for how we followed His plan.
Amen.
His evangelizing plan involved pain and praise and proclamation. How many times, who have you told within the last 48 hours somebody how good God was?
Amen.
Or has everything that's been said been negative? Not everything with God is negative. God's still a positive God. God's still doing some positive things.
Amen.
Who have you told lately that what Jesus does in your life? Who have you told lately what Jesus can do?
Come on, brother.
We are His witnesses. Now, what's a witness? A witness is a person who has seen or heard something or experienced something. Now, one thing. You can't tell somebody about something you haven't seen or experienced.
Amen.
Amen.
But when you've experienced it and Jesus has changed you, you want everybody to know what Jesus is doing.
Yes, Lord.
That's God. That's
everyone. Big, little, on one side of the tracks, on the other side of the tracks. Those who can wear $300 outfits, those who can wear $100 outfits. Listen, Jesus doesn't care what's on the outside. Jesus is all about transforming the inside. And when the inside gets transformed, the outside will take care of itself. There's an evangelizing plan. Ye are witnesses of these things. I probably shouldn't say this, but want to. Probably shouldn't use people, but I want to. We have been witnesses to the moving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, explain. I could call several people's names, but I'm not, and I'm not going to do this to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to do it for them. For I thank God for to get recognition. Church, let me show you something. Let me tell you something. When God does something in somebody's life, it shows up.
Amen.
God has done work in Jeff Harrison's life over here.
Amen. Amen.
Several years ago, Jeff would have never set foot in this place called church. Who did it? Jesus did it.
Amen, brother.
Dusty Meade sitting here on this front. You just don't know how hard I have worked on Dusty over these years. Aggravating this little short thing I've ever seen in my life. God's changed Dusty's life.
Amen.
You can't be around Dusty Meeks now that you don't notice the difference. Church, let me tell you what. We are eyeball witnesses that God is still alive and God still saves.
Amen.
And God still changes.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Don't ever forget, in the midst of everything we're talking about, that God is still changing hearts and saving souls and making a difference in people's lives. And every single day, God wants to make a difference in somebody's life, but we've got to share with that somebody, our somebody, who is Jesus. There's an evangelizing plan revealed. But there's one last thing. There is a reveal. He revealed His evangelizing plan, but He revealed His imbuing power. And behold, pay attention, He said. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high. Here's what Jesus said. Ladies, I've got to go. My mission down here is complete. I've got to go. Just a matter of time, you won't see me with your visible eye any longer. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm sending somebody to take care of you.
Hallelujah.
Hey! Now here's the kicker on this thing. He said, now you're going to have to stay right here until you're endued with power. If they had not have had time to stay and wait, they would have missed the power. We try our very best as humans to run ahead of God. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we won't just stay and wait. The good thing may be just around the corner.
Amen.
And so they buckled their seatbelts and they hung on and they just kept waiting. And finally, one day, one glorious day, the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now I can't see Jesus physically today. Can't see it, but in the lives of some of these, many more that I could have mentioned. But I'll tell you one thing. I sure know he's here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is here.
Amen.
And in spite of the fight and the frustration of the devil, I want you to understand, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world.
Amen.
Because of the Spirit of God. Jesus done a good thing. He went away, but he left us somebody here to take care of us. When I cry my eyes out, there's always somebody there that hands me a little handkerchief. And it is the Spirit of God. When I feel like all is vain, the Spirit of God says, no. Jesus took it for you. Why don't you take it for me? And he comforts us, and he convicts us, and he changes us, and he cures us. Before Jesus left, he left us a message that involved evangelizing plan and undoing power. There's been many ladies have changed too. I wouldn't just sing without these men. Did these men change because of Rod? No, because I'm just a human. In frail, weak form. They changed because Rod told them about the power of the Lord Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Who have we told about Jesus? Who have we told that God is still doing some good things in our church life?
Amen. Right.
Who have we told that God still is making differences? Who have we told that we can come together as a body of believers like from the Assembly of Us and many, many others, and we can offer our prayers to God? And you know what? We know that God hears us when we pray.
Right. Amen, brother.
But the greatest thing is this. When we falter and fail, Jesus forgives. I have been forgiven. What about you? Stand with me.